Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you so very much that we've gathered here to worship you and honor your precious name. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us the mind of Christ and that, Lord, you'd help us in continuing in this time of fellowship. And, Lord, that you would anoint this man with your mercy and love. God, that I would be able to teach your people and minister to them, thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have been so good to us and your Spirit has appointed us and anointed us for your purposes. I thank you that you brought us through the fire and you brought us through the flood. I thank you that you brought us through a lot of things that have happened and transpired in the last few months that have been really challenging and have challenged the church. And I just pray, oh God, that you would continue to help us. And Lord, right now, help us to overcome evil with good. Lord, where we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, please purge us as hyssop and make us every whit whole. Help our words to be your words. Help our thoughts to be your thoughts. Help us to know the things of God, to portray the things of God, to live Christ. Lord, and where we have fallen short of your glory, God, help us to get to the place where we can begin to abide in your glory and to be transparent in your presence and filled with your Holy Spirit. God, help us all. And Lord, I pray, touch this time together and let your name be glorified. For you are the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, El Shaddai. Oh, hallelujah. The God who provides, the God who is, and the God who is coming again. And we love you, Lord, so very much today. Bless your people and thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining with us today, virtually, through the medium of Google Meet. Thank you for you coming to be with us and sharing with us and ministering. Thank you for all those who have contributed and made this gathering possible. We're going to have a gathering meeting for the folks in Western Nebraska as well. Brother Christopher has sent me a note saying that we have at least 7 of our neighborhood groups that have seemingly had folks who have logged in for this meeting, at least. And so I'm thankful for every one of you at one point. Who knows how many people we had, but it looks as though we had at least 140 that have logged in. And we're thankful for that. We appreciate you groups doing this with us virtually each month. Sometimes our time and our sequence of getting together has been better than others. But we're working on it. It has not been perfect. And my schedule, I know, has hindered you in doing that a little bit. And then when we've tried to get guest speakers to come on, we've had technical difficulties when they've come from their own churches and things far off. But the Lord is good. But the Lord is good. And I thank the Lord for his mercy that endures forever. Amen. We are going to begin our cycle for the next year of our lectionary study. We finish up our previous courses, and today I'm going to continue with you guys and ministering on this year's cycle. Hopefully many of you got the commentary lesson book that I have been using the last 2 years. The basic outline comes from the standard commentary, but I know I go way off on the tangent, but that has been where we've kind of studied from, and I've chosen it again this year, along with the studies I'm doing in my group on Through the Bible Study Series, which is what I've done for years now. And we are in 1st and 2nd Samuel. For those who are in my group, my shepherd group, we are in 1st and 2nd Samuel and ministering Jesus. Amen. Because he's in the whole book. He's in the whole book. He's in Old Testament to New Testament. He's Alpha and Omega. Praise God. And we are in this first quarter going to be talking about love a lot, so get used to it. And today we're going to be talking about biased love. And I don't know if we're going to get through the whole lesson or not, but we're going to get into some interesting things and contrasts, etc. So the Lord be glorified. Hallelujah. I want to say that we have been really blessed in the last year to see what God has done in preparing us so well to be able to handle this pandemic. Many churches panicked when they went through the crises of groups being cut down, of people dealing with this thing, people being in quarantine, all sorts of other stuff. But we have not really been altered in our schematics too much, except in our monthly gatherings and in some of our groups. And we broke down some groups into two groups where we could or had proper shepherds or teachers. But the Lord's been good. And thank God that we started this ministry almost 11 years ago, and God knew what was going to happen along the way. And here we are, weathering the storm quite well because of how we are built, and that we're not built upon gathering together in some one big building sense, and everything has to be predicated about that. And the whole show isn't about Brother Boston or Brother Wade or anybody else. It's about Jesus. So God has been good. So thank the Lord that He knew about this day and He's done His thing. So thank the Lord He's been good to us. Turn with me to the scriptures, to Genesis 37. We're going to read from verses 2 through 11. And it's from the King James Version of the Bible. Somebody asked me the other day why in this lectionary series I chose this version of the Bible, because I'm usually ministering a lot from the Common English Version, which is my favorite, or the CEB, the Common English Bible. And I do like the Common English Bible, and it's what I use for my personal study most of the time. I'm so used to the King James Version, and scriptures come very easily for me in the King James Version because it's what I've either preached in or been with or around most of my ministry, whether King James or New King James. So please just bear with me, and it helps me to share with you the Word of God because it's part of my vernacular, if you may say so, okay? Part of my vernacular. And so it helps me in ministering to you. So that's the excuse I'm going to make, and I'm keeping to it. Praise God. But turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, 2 through 11. Genesis 37, 2 through 11. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet more. He was already hated. Now he's hated more. This ain't doing well. This ain't working out too well so far. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obedience or obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. I mean, he's just digging a hole. And he dreamed yet another dream. Oh, man. He dreamed another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Now listen to this. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. His father rebuked him, but it says in verse 11, the father observed his saying. He didn't discount it. This is a very powerful, profound passage of scripture. I want to come before you and ask you a question. How do you like the person in your family who is loved more than anybody else? Who mom and dad seem to adore, either because of their talents or their abilities, etc. Do you envy that person? Are you jealous of that person, etc.? Now, that's an uncomfortable feeling. I grew up in a household where my sister was it. She was the apex of excellence. And all of us kind of, you know, maybe tried to attain to it, but we weren't going to get where Vicky was in so many ways. She was the gifted daughter. And, you know, sometimes I think that mom and dad gave her all the best DNA. It's just the way it is. But I really was never truly jealous of my sister. I was just wishing that I sometimes had it like she did. But I had a great sister. But yet, when I went to high school, you know, I had to follow in her footsteps. My other brothers never had to go to the high school my sister went to. They never had to. And so I followed in her footsteps, and they were just expecting me to be like Vicky. I want you to know that was a difficult place. Just to tell you a little bit about my sister. Some of you know a little bit about my sister, but besides having a pretty good IQ, she went to Columbia. She went to Harvard. She has a master's in psychiatry, and then she's got who knows what she's got. She's got a bunch of degrees, and she was a great lawyer and prosecutor, et cetera. You know, that's what I had to follow. And all I wanted to be was a preacher. In junior high, 2 years after I got saved, I knew God already called me to preach. So I was going to be a preacher. My dad wanted me to be a priest, but I knew I was going to be a preacher. And so I had a calling in my life, and I was going to fulfill it. And I was going to go to the best universities and do whatever I could. But for the most part, I just wanted to honor God. And I loved Jesus. And I loved what the Lord had meant to me. And when he came into my life, what he did for me. But following after my sister was difficult in many ways. Then there was my brother Steve, who was athletically prowessed more than I was and was a star basketball player, etc. And it kind of just added to that. You know, I won't say I had a biased love in my life at all. But I sometimes felt like my mom and dad had a biased love. I will be very honest. I've never really had a biased love when it came to my kids or anything else. My gals are wonderful. Adam's wonderful. And I think of them all wonderfully. I hope I've never tried to, or I've never come off as being preferential in any way, shape, or form, and showed this biased love like Joseph's dad did for him. But, you know, it can cause a lot of consternation and frustration. And it can cause hurts. And people sometimes bring out things thinking there was a favoritism or something towards them that gave so-and-so a better, you know, road to hoe in days throughout their lives. But, you know, favoritism in whatever way or partiality has got to be something we are wary of, because it can cause all sorts of spirits that cause problems in the body of Christ. Favoritism and partiality can cause a lot of problems in the body of Christ. I've been in too many churches, too many places where the elders or certain people were favored more than others. Or the pastor just didn't recognize what they were doing, and you could see it blatantly. And so through the years when I visited and been asked to go to different churches, and been asked honestly if somebody wants me to honestly evaluate certain things, I've been very open to the pastors about what I've seen or sensed, if I believed what I was going to convey to them would be appreciated and received. Now remember, Joseph's dad said this at the end, but his father observed the same. He kind of rebuked it, but he also observed it. He put a mental note up on the wall and said, on such and such a day, Joseph, who I already know is spiritually bent, made this statement. Okay? That was seen. Now, in our hearts and lives, we have got to be careful about partiality and favoritism. And it's hurt the body of Christ a lot. One of the things I've seen a lot in my ministry and teaching in other places is how pastors whose children follow them in the ministry are given such an extra stepping stone of help along the way. To sometimes the determent of those who are trying to show themselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth and trying to follow in the ministry as well. Those fathers, those parents need to be careful. And there have been times when I've taken a few pastors who have just, you know, already, even when the kids are so young, trying to already put them almost in the pastoral position, you know, almost presenting them to take over for their retirement years before the day. There have been times when I've had to say some things. And it's a problem in the body of Christ. Because, of course, we want our kids to be blessed. But we have to be careful not to show partiality and favoritism. Okay? And we allow people to grow with their own pace. And sometimes it's better for people to be grown and being someplace else to grow than, quote, just being under my wing. Or your wing. Or that pastor's wing. Whoever it might be. Years ago, I really wanted Adrian, my son-in-law, to come to be with us in the ministry here. I had a burden for him when my daughter Jessica and Adrian got married and they were soon to have kids and different things. But Adrian wanted to go into the armed services. I had to respect that even though I wanted him and kind of wanted to get the opportunity to have him be the youth leader and music minister in this church because I know of his gifts and talents and what he could have brought and my daughter to this ministry at Covenant in its early stages, whatever. But to God be the glory, Adrian has done what he's done, has become a fine man, and is a great husband to my daughter. So I thank God for that. Father's preference or prejudice could have seen something different, but you got my drift? Okay? But I didn't push it. And I think that we have to recognize that. We have to be sure that we know that it's the Spirit of God when we make certain choices, when we put people in certain situations, and go from there. Okay? Look at verse 23. I don't want to just stay on this, okay, because it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. So there you go. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. Jealousy raged. He was put in a pit. And I think you know what's going to come next with the story. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. They sold him, and then put it off his dad that he died. Ate up, tore up. Okay? Not good. Early on in the life of Joseph, the anointing of God must have been apparent that his father saw, but also there was a great love for him because of birth and in old age, etc. And yet Joseph probably didn't handle things perfectly well in how he dealt with things, but he was really spiritually bent. And God had given him a gift to be able to have dreams and discern dreams, it would seem. And the brethren didn't think well of it. I want to tell you today that there are times in our lives, if we're not careful, we are jealous of people when we should be, and we should appreciate their ministry. I know that many of you would like to say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, why such-and-such? Don't worry about it. Just worry about yourself. Be a contributor to what's going on around about you and pray that God would, you know, reveal your gifts and help you in your personal walk and talk. We spend too much time worrying about somebody else and their gifts and their callings and what they're doing in the body of Christ, and we get jealous or want to be like them. Many is the graveyard of the preacher who has wanted to be like brother and sister so-and-so and did whatever they could to do that and struggled and frustrated themselves trying to get in their shoes. It's no good. It's not going to help you. Find your own place in the kingdom of God. Find your own place in the kingdom. Find your own place, okay? And leaders in the body of Christ, don't be biased in your love. Oh, man, I want to help this gifted person. I want to do this. Hey, you might love that gifted person, but you need to care about everybody equally and without partiality. Jesus certainly did. Jesus didn't care who was the least or the most important. He loved everyone. And he hoped that each and everyone would take whatever they had and contribute it in the best way and form that they could to bless the kingdom of God. But we have to be careful about partiality. Amen? Jesus ministered to person after person after person, and he didn't seem to worry too much about their pedigree. And yet, so many times we worry about that stuff, and we get too much into who is doing this or who is doing that. And we need to just quit it and forget about it and be thankful when a brother and sister shows a certain ability or a talent or are in the Word or in the Holy Spirit the way they are. Amen. We need to do so because it will benefit us all in the long term. And sometimes that very same person you're jealous of could be the very person that speaks into your life that helps you get along in a mighty fine way. Amen. Amen. Don't try to be somebody you're not. How many times we saw our kids you grow up and want to be somebody they're not, or, you know, be like that great person, that baseball player, whoever it might be. And you know what I'm saying. Okay. We like to emulate our heroes. Okay. But you know something? You know, we can do that maybe, maybe not. Maybe we have the ability to do so in some cases. But, you know, not really. You know, I loved my pastor, and I kind of wanted to be like Brother Nordstrom. He's a great man, a man of God, but I was never going to preach like Brother Nordstrom. I was never going to sing like Brother Nordstrom. I was never going to be. But I was going to be what I was going to be and do it to the best of my ability. And I have, to the best of my ability. And you know something? You need to grow at your pace, do your thing, and find your niche, and let God bless you. Okay? And don't worry about how fancy things are or anything else or be jealous of anybody else. And just love Jesus. Amen. And you're going to be blessed by it. Okay? You're going to be blessed by it. Why don't we see the use of the expression home sweet home when it came to Joseph and his brothers? A house is just a structure, a place of residence. Without a family within, the building can never be a home. Home has much more sentiment attached to its meaning, evoking different emotions based on the family life within the house. And here we see a lot of strain within this family that is represented here in the book of Genesis. When we consider the family life of the patriarch Jacob in the Old Testament, well, home sweet home isn't what they're talking about. And it doesn't cross their minds. It's more like family feud. Seems more appropriate in every dimension. The strife and the hard feelings within the family are seen throughout the beginning of this lesson. Joseph was born around the year 1916 BC. In world historical context, this would be near the middle of the Bronze Age, which began around 3000 BC. Other technological and societal advances made this a time of importance and was comparatively slow in its change. The struggles with love involving Joseph go back years before Joseph to his father Jacob, about 2007 to 1860 BC came about. Jacob was raised in a home where favoritism appears to have been the primary parenting skill of his father and mother, Isaac and Rebekah. So he was just following suit. Genesis 25:28 tells us all we need to know. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Okay? So he was just kind of following up on that which he knew and what he had been brought in as a young child and kind of grew up in. Such a scenario was bound to produce family conflict and biased love. This infighting came to a head when Rebekah learned of Isaac's desire to bless his favorite son Esau, the older of the two. This would solidify Esau's privileged position, which promises of abundance for the future. She disguised Jacob so that he would feel hairy like Esau in the presence of blind Isaac. The ruse worked, and the blessing intended for Esau was pronounced on Jacob. In Genesis 27, 1 through 41, you can read that. To escape Esau's vengeance, Jacob traveled to Haran, where Rebekah's brother Laban lived. There Jacob married two daughters of Laban, named Leah and Rachel, and became the father of one daughter and 11 of his eventual 12 sons. Joseph was the last son born to Jacob in Haran. On the way back to Canaan, after residing in Haran for more than 20 years, Benjamin then was born. He and Joseph were the only two sons of Rachel. Now remember that. Benjamin and Joseph were the only two sons of his favored Rachel. Okay? He might love Leah, but he really loved Rachel. Okay? Biased love. Tragically, Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin. Eventually, Jacob settled with his family in Canaan near Bethel, a journey hundreds of miles from Haran. Perhaps he believed that he would enjoy his last years in relative calm as opposed to all the strife he had experienced thus far. However, some of Jacob's most heartbreaking trials were soon yet to come. And they came about because of this perpetual attitude of biased nature that started in years gone by when he was a kid, then into early marriage, and now into the birth of his kids, okay? And it began a family cycle of discord, okay? The book of Genesis is organized partially by the use of the Hebrew phrase translated, "These are the generations of," used for the last time here in the phrase first appearing in Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. Each instance emphasizes the continuation of life and introduces stories and concern with those lives in some way, shape, or form. And in the lives of these individuals from that we have mentioned thus far, we have seen so much. And so many stories have been given to us, whether it's offering up of Isaac, whether it's the story of how he went about and first got Leah and then Rachel, and then all the other things that have transpired. It's just a total worldview of family in crisis in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And yet, God's still covenantal love and blessing and grace within the family. Amen. Joseph's birth is recorded in Genesis 30, 22-24. It mentions how Jacob placed Rachel and Joseph in the rear of the entourage as Jacob prepared to meet Esau. This preferential treatment foreshadowed the family dynamics that would contribute to the drama present in today's text. You know, there might have been Esau. Years gone by and the struggles there with Jacob. But you know something? It just kind of passed on and went on into the next generation. And we need to cut off those generational curses from our lives. We need to at some point realize, hey, we can't let this go on. And too often we just allow the attributes of sin, depredation, and ill will continue to grow from generation to generation. And we have to put a stop to it. I don't care where it's coming from, where it's at, but in your life, biased love, partiality, these generational curses that we allow because, quote, that's the way daddy did it, or this or that, get the best of us, and we do things, or we have attributes that are sinful, or we make excuses for. And we need to break it. We need to get rid of it. We need to allow God to help us to recognize that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things become new. God wants us to dream a dream. God wants us to have a vision. God wants to bring about restoration. Ultimately, and we're not into that already, but ultimately, when it comes to Joseph and his brothers, there's going to be some restoration, but it's going to be a whole lot of hurt that's going to go along the way, that's going to be seen in the lives of all the family. Amen? All because of the partiality and the spirit that was allowed to breed itself within the household because of mom and dad. Okay? And the leadership of the home. Okay, are you with me? And, you know, from the kids, et cetera, it just became a stew that was just being cooked to cause nothing but consternation and frustration. I want to ask you today, what is cooking in your home? What is cooking in your life? What's going on? What kind of stew are you making? You know, we need to be careful about the ingredients we put within our hearts and lives, whether it's on what we hear, what we see, in the actions we take, etc. And we need to be cautious that we don't create something that we are going to have to deal with later on. And a lot of times, we're very short-sighted. And we find ourselves in a place where we, because of that short-sightedness, because we don't have the vision, because we don't have the insight, because we're not the dreamers we sometimes should be, we don't see the whole picture and we get ourselves in a mess. We need to break the chains, build what God wants, and create opportunity for the future. But too many times we're caught up and we are chained up and kept from doing what God wants us to do because we've created something that we can't even get out of. And we go through the same pain and the same hurts over and over and over again. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to break the cycles of defeat that come in our hearts and lives. Well, Brother Boston, I've tried overcoming that before. I've tried doing this. It just never works. Hey, then we need to try something else, and we need to get a hold of God and find out what we can do about this. Because you shouldn't be defeated. You shouldn't be going through this over and over again, and we need to see victory. Hallelujah. And I want you to have victory today, saints. I want to have victory in my life. And there are sometimes too many things we deal with that are perpetual, and we don't get over it. We need to get to the place where we get over things, where we get through things, when we get to the other side. I passed through Calvary. I died out. I'm in a resurrection life. Did you get me? I died out. I passed through Calvary. I'm in the resurrection life now. I want to be led of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know something? When I first got saved and I got, man, filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to know some things changed. I changed. Things that were difficult to overcome in my sin life weren't even a problem anymore. I didn't have it anymore. It was just not part of me anymore because of the power of the name of Jesus that came forth through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit just did a number on me. Hallelujah. I had my problems, but there are things that I battled with that never became a battle again. And I kept on looking towards Jesus, and I wanted to serve the Lord, and I wanted to honor God, and I wanted to get to the place where I worshiped and honored Him. And I kept on that path, despite my failures, despite my difficulties, despite the sins I had along the pathway. Sometimes it creeped up, and Satan wanted to keep me from the work that he wanted me to do. But God helped me through, and even the stupid things I've done in my life, God has found a way for you to shake off and to be able to move on. In your heart life, God wants to do the same. Amen. Amen. I want to help you today. I want to help you to break out of it. I want to help you to get through it. I want to help you to get to the other side. I want you to see the victory of God. But you've got to believe it. And you've got to know that Jesus Christ is the author and the finish of your faith. And you don't have to perpetually go through the things you've been going through anymore. And having biased love or partiality or having a spirit of jealousy isn't going to help you. Find out the gifts God's got for you. Get into the things of God. Get into the Word of God. Love God. See what God can do for you. Hallelujah. He can make everything new. Hallelujah. I've seen God do some awesome things in people's lives when they gave God a chance. When they gave God the chance. You know, I've seen a lot of people serve God, by the way, and do really great, and then something gets along the way and it becomes more important than God, or they're just happy where they're at. There's another problem sometimes we have in just being satisfied. I might be getting personal with this one. That's right, church. Just being satisfied. Well, I'm just happy where Jesus has me right now. Everything's just all right. Maybe you need to shake it up a little bit because God wants you to do something more. God wants you to get to another place. God wants you to go to another level. Hallelujah. Sometimes my biggest problem as a pastor is just seeing people satisfied. Well, Brother Vossen, we're doing all right. Brother Vossen, you did okay. You know, we're fine. We can just sit a spell here. We're all right. I'm not going to vegetate. I want to grow. I want to see God do something. I don't want to get any weeds on me. I don't want to get any weeds on me. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and I want to get those weeds out of the way. I want Him to be able to nourish my soul. I want Him to bless my spirit. I want to be a blessing. Amen. And you should too. When these brothers looked at Joseph, they were jealous of him. He was a dreamer. He was favored by dad. He had gifts and talents they didn't have. And wearing that coat must have drove them crazy. It's like God having the mom and dad in your family give you all the good stuff and you all the nice stuff, and boom, you know, you stand in front of all your siblings with that stuff. I tell you, 12 kids and only one's got a really fancy coat. I mean, come on. I want you to know something. We need to all work together for the kingdom of God. And we're all in this thing together. And you know something? Partiality, favoritism, all that stuff we need to put aside. And we need to begin to appreciate one another in the body of Christ and see the potential in one another. I remember one time trying to minister to somebody. They just didn't see themselves doing anything for the kingdom of God. I just started speaking to them. I said, I see you as a preacher. I see you as a singer. I see you as an enabler. I see you as a person who's going to be profitable. I see you as a person who's going to be used of God. And I just kept on speaking that to them over and over and over again anytime I got in fellowship with them. Till finally, they started believing it. They started believing it. And when they started believing it, they began to attain to some things. And I want you to know something. God wants to do something awesome in your life if you'll give Him a chance. Hallelujah. Quit beating yourself up. Quit going through the same things. Quit just getting stuck in the curses of this life. Let God lift you up. Let God show you another way. Let God help you overcome those things that are hurting you in your life. Brother Vossen, I'm satisfied. No, don't be satisfied. Be grateful and move on. Be grateful and move on. Thank God for the today's, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I tell you, God is so good. I'm way off my lesson at this point, but we're doing all right. We're doing all right. Look at verse 5 of chapter 37. Hallelujah. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. You know, I want to dream a dream. I want to have visions. I want to hear from God. And I want to do so, and I want to be a blessing to my brethren. And I hope that I'm in a place in the family of God here that I can minister to you, and you have respect for me and know that I have a right spirit about how I'm carrying myself. So when I have a dream or a vision or something that I want to share with you, it might be something that you want to be with me on the journey to enjoy along the way. You know how we work with our shepherd leaders here. We're collegial in nature. When I have a dream, when I have a vision, it's not, okay, it's Brother Boston's way or the highway. It's never that way. I share, I minister, and then if it becomes a part of you and the elders begin to see the same thing, we begin to just go in on it. We begin to invest in it. We begin to see what God's going to do. There's cooperation and there's opportunity in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I believe God wants that of us. I believe that the 12 apostles did it that way. I believe that that's the reason why when the Council of Jerusalem took place, hallelujah, and Paul came and they had that council to consider how they would treat the incoming Gentile believers into the church. They had wisdom one with another about what to do and weren't going to go off and just say it's my way or the highway attitude. And Paul could have maybe done that, but he didn't. Paul could have maybe done that and did it, but we have preachers today, we have people today in the kingdom of God that had that attitude that, hey, you know, I don't care what that brother says. I don't care what that sister says. I don't care. You better care. Your body fitly joined together. Everything you do in the body of Christ affects one another. I don't care what church you're in. It affects us. And we need to be wise stewards of the things of God. And we need to care about what's going on in the body of Christ and pray one for another and have a right spirit of doing so. We've had too many ministers, pastors, and teachers say, well, I'm going to do it this way and that's just the way it is. Well, yeah, you go ahead and great's going to be your fall, brother. Or all the hurt you're going to cause us along the way because people are going to look at you and they're going to think that we're like you. Am I preaching now? Am I preaching now? Come on. Come on. I see some of you there. You're kind of looking at me. I'm serious. We need to be careful. The reason why we have a collegial leadership here. I might be the leader and everything in the sense of being founding pastor. And I might have dream and vision and I might have a determination. And I believe we need to keep about the vision. However, I want to be a corporate vision. I want to be something confirmed of the Holy Spirit. I want where two or more gatherers touching anything, it shall be done. Hallelujah. Because there's anointing on that. There's power in that. There's unity in that. That's how it was on the day of Pentecost when they came together. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon every one of them. Why? Because they got together on the vision. They got together on the purpose of prayer. And they got a hold of God and God outpoured Spirit. And they expected something to happen. It wasn't one person. It wasn't one individual. It wasn't one dreamer. Hallelujah. Are you with me here? Come on. Hallelujah. We're in this together. What happens in my life and how I deal with people affects everyone around me. What you do, the favoritism or the bias you show, affects everybody in the family. Hallelujah. You have a defeatist attitude. You feel like, well, woe is me. I'm never going to break the cycle. It can be an infection that affects others. Break the cycle. Break the chains. See the grace of God. Allow the anointing of God to overflow. Let the word of God become real to you. Amen. Let Jesus be real to you. Praise God. So much good stuff in this today. So much good stuff in this today. Verse 6 and 7. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. This dream uses images from a grain harvest. Men and women would go out with hand sickles and cut the grain. As they did, they gathered the cut stalks into sheaves. Those sheaves were stacked in the field to await transport to the field or place of threshing. We can find that in Ruth 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. To make obeisance means to bow down in an act of great respect or worship. Here it signifies that someone else has or will have power over those who are doing the bowing. Why would Joseph think it prudent to tell his brothers about a dream in which they were under his power? Being a very young man, around age 17 probably, Joseph simply may not have developed a sense of tact or appropriateness. Or perhaps he sensed already that his dream had come from God and was a word his brothers needed to hear. The Bible is silent concerning Joseph's motivations. You know, we can only guess. We can only speculate here. But if he was about 17 years old, like it looks like he was, and in that bearing range, we can give him the benefit of the doubt whether he was really wise in how he dealt with this at the time or not. However, he spoke the word, and he spoke it powerfully. And in verse 8 it says, And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The symbolism of the dream did not confuse Joseph's brothers. Joseph saw himself as one who would reign over his brothers. They immediately grasped its meaning and hated him yet more because of it. Whether they took the dream seriously or considered it an attempt of self-promotion, the brothers recognized that. Once again, their younger brother was placed above them. Though the Bible is silent on this matter, it is possible that the brothers have already discussed killing Joseph before. Joseph's brothers, of course, did not know how important the fulfillment of Joseph's dreams were and would be for the saving of their own lives. If Joseph never got, we can be mad at what the brothers did. I mean, come on, it was callous. It was vicious what they did and then selling them off. But if they hadn't done what they did and been part of God's plan, there wouldn't have been the provision made and put aside in Egypt. There wouldn't have been the opportunities that found themselves. And ultimately, because of God's grace with Joseph, there was restoration along the way. There was restoration along the way later on. Didn't come easy. There was a lesson that the brethren had to learn. But there was a rejoicing in the end, and finally things came about. Repentance was seen. And Joseph, because he kept a right spirit, through all this, kept a right spirit. Brethren, kept a right spirit. He didn't judge them and do something vicious and cruel, which he could have done. But instead, he made provision and protected and saved nations. And he also was able to see preservation, love, and blessing in the long term for family and father. He kept the right spirit. He didn't want revenge. He wanted restoration. Hallelujah. No matter how hurt you are about certain things in life today, no matter how you feel about certain things and how bad sometimes it's been, no matter how jealous you might be or you wish you could be like such and such a minister, pastor of a church right now, where, you know, you might be listening to this message or you might be listening in and getting these notes later and hear this word, no matter how you might feel about somebody else, just worry about yourself. Just be in prayer about yourself. Just be repentant about yourself. Just be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Just let God minister with you. And God will bless you with what He sees fit as He sees the gifts and as you use the gifts He's given you. Amen. I can't be brother so-and-so. I can't be sister so-and-so. I can't be this and that. I'm me. You know, I wish I could be like Brother Nordstrom. I wish I could be like former pastors I've had. I wish I could be like certain people. Oh, it would be a lot of fun, I would think. But you know something? They paid their own price. They went through their own valleys. They went through their own challenges that I'll never know about. Hallelujah. I've got to take care of me. And I got to go to the foot of the cross. I got to give bend a knee every day. I got to approach the throne of grace every day. I got to pray on the armor of God every day. I've got to consider the things of God every day. I've got to love my brethren every day. I've got to forgive my friends and brethren every day. I've got to do the things Jesus called me to do. Hallelujah. Joseph kept the right spirit, and there was restoration and grace. Hallelujah. He had a dream, yes. He could interpret things. It was wonderful. It's powerful when you're led of the Spirit and God does these neat things. It's wonderful. But you know something? Unless you keep the right spirit, unless you keep the right attitude, unless you can carry it through and be the blessing that God intends, it's all worthless. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, precious Lord. Precious Lord. We've come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. Where are you today? Are you in a place where you're in a rut? And you've kind of gone through the same problems over and over again? Or are you the jealous person and you're looking at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and, hey, you know, I don't understand why they're always getting favor. Are you the person who has tried so hard and tried so hard and just, you feel like you're getting nowhere and just say, well, I just want to give up. Wherever you are at, whatever state you're in, I have a solution. In whatever place you're in, I have a solution. I have a remedy. I have the right source for you to go to in order to receive your blessing. It's Jesus. He loves you. He came down from glory, made himself lower than the angels, and he came to share his love with you and to save you, to make of you something wonderful. And he's as close as the mention of his name. It might be difficult. There might be things going on that might seemingly be just unbelievable to deal with. But I want you to know if there's somebody that can handle it, if there's somebody that can help you through it, if there's somebody that can make a way for you in this situation, it's Jesus. And he wants you to be a part of this family. He wants you to honor God in the family. He wants you to corporately be a part of something awesome. And he wants you to be a part of his church. And he wants you to be involved in it. And he wants you to grow in it. Oh, but brother so-and-so is such a hypocrite, Brother Boston. So-and-so is so vicious. So-and-so just doesn't have the right spirit. Quit worrying about so-and-so. Pray for so-and-so. Try to be a blessing to so-and-so. Find a way to invest in their life. And believe God that just like yourself, they can become a vessel of honor. God wants to make of you a vessel of honor. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel God can use. I want a piece of pottery, be a piece of pottery where the Lord has said, hey, you can be a container that I can pour in and you can pour out of my love to others. Amen. Lord, anoint me that my wineskin can expand and I can just pour out of your spirit to those around about me. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for each and every one. Lord, I pray that God, that the word that was spoken today would be that which would touch their hearts and minister in their lives. I pray that they would make their way to your presence. They would recognize their need for the Lord's gracious help and assistance in their life. And know that if they'll surrender themselves to you and remove the spirits, remove the boundaries, remove the things that are in the way and the barriers keeping them from the grace of God and the help of the Lord, that they will see the Lord make up the difference, lift them up, encourage them, and give them the insight they need. Heavenly Father, I pray, O Lord, that you will break generational curses in people's lives. I pray that you will break the spirit of doubt. I pray that you'll break the spirit of envy. I pray you'll break that spirit of bias. I pray you'll break that spirit of prejudice. I pray you'll break that spirit that seemingly is just caught up in satisfaction and thinking, well, I'll just stay here, abide here until Jesus comes. I pray, God, that there would be a shaking that is going on. And that, Lord, we become and are addressing our lives in such a way where we allow you to make of us all that, Lord, you want us to be. That we might inhabit, O Lord, your love. And we might know your grace. We might know your mercy. We might know your blessings. That we might serve you with honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch your people right now. Let your spirit reach out to them right now. Holy Spirit of God, fall fresh on them in this moment. Oh, Lord, work a work of love in them. Let your spirit have its way in them. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord's touching you. I believe the Lord's ministering to you. I believe the Lord is right now trying to do something in our midst. I believe he's going to do some things incredible if we let him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be a functioning family. I want to be a family that's in order. I want to be a family built on love. I want to be a family that cares one for another, that builds up one another, doesn't have prejudice in any way, shape, and form, and that I can lift up my brother. I can love my brother. I want them to be blessed more than me. Hallelujah, God. I want to care for my brethren. I want to love my brethren. I want you to have what I could never have. I want you to be blessed like I could never have. Amen. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, touch the Lord. Oh, Lord, bless the family. Bless the people. God. And if there's someone right now who's listening, who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, or, Lord, they have known you, but they've backslidden, they went away from you, or they've just ignored their calling. I pray that you'll reach out to them right now, and God, you would just pull them in. So, I've been waiting for you. I love you. I never gave up on you. Oh, I've got some great things for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Lord. Oh, come into my life afresh, Lord. Come into my life, Lord. Minister right now. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He's waiting. He's waiting. Waiting patiently in line. You might have a lot of other places you want to stop and go and consider, but Lord, I'll tell you, at the foot of the cross right now in this time, He's the best thing you got going. Hallelujah. Oh, He can do what no mortal can do for you today. No king, no dictator, no president, no anything can do for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can make everything change right now, right here, at this moment. You can look back at this day. You can look back at this day and say it all changed. It all changed. You can mark it on the calendar. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming together. Thank you for taking time out to hear this word. Thank you for giving Jesus a place on your docket. Hallelujah, today. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for blessing us today. And I pray, oh God, that you would touch as we leave our gathering here today and in this conference. And God, we pray that you would minister to us, through us, and keep your word before us and help us to meditate upon the word we received and the Spirit of God that is challenging us, that is touching us, that is ministering. And I pray as you minister today and as this day ends out, God, we would be in that place you want us to be, to make the steps we need to make and take for tomorrow, to see the grace of God throughout this week, throughout this month, and the years to come. We thank you and we praise you in the beautiful and lovely and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. God bless every one of you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming together. And I pray this word ministered to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.